This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, Dare You to Get in the Game. This is the fifth message in the series, Double Dog Dare. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Your bulletin in front of you as we invite our senior pastor, Kevin Myers, to lead us into week five of Double Dog Dare.
Rules of the Double Dog Dare. Listen closely. It begins with two opposing sides. Side one presents a seemingly insurmountable challenge known as a dare to side two. This dare is riddled with abounding risk, oftentimes with severe physical and social implications. When challenged, side two must accept or refuse the dare presented. Refusing is equally, if not more, detrimental to one's social standing than actually accepting the dare and failing miserably. If side two reluctantly declines the dare, then of course the challenger is forced to raise the stakes and extend the ultimate requisition, the Double Dog Dare. Everything is on the line. Risk it all and walk proudly in achievement, or lose and walk home with your tail between your legs. Only you can decide.
So welcome to 12 Stone Across the Campus. So glad that you are here for week five of Double Dog Dare on this Super Bowl Sunday. And the big question is, who's going to win? So you know what? I knew where you were going to go. So let's just get rowdy. It's okay. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I want you to yell out on the count of three who you think is going to win. On the count of three, either Panthers, Broncos, or commercials. Okay, so who do you think is going to win? Are you ready? Yell it so your neighbor can't even hear you. Across campus, one, two, three. That was very clear. Commercials. That's actually what I heard. You know, Rex, it's probably the commercials is going to win first and foremost. CBS told us that they're getting $5 million for a 30-second spot. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's good. So clearly, they're going to be the winners. Well, we really don't know who's going to actually win which team, but we are here to help you win, to win in your career. Literally, we're going to dare you today to get in the game. Just like the NFL players, they got to get in the game. And it's not recreation for them. It's not hobby. It's not spectator sport. This for them, this is their career. It's their job. It's their work. And we're going to dare you to get in the game. Literally, to get better at what you do. Don't just settle. Get better. See, we're on this six double dog dare kind of series, and we're challenging you to pick at least one primary double dog dare. For example, we launched week one, get in shape. And many of you joined me and said, okay, that's going to be my one. So my one is get in shape. They turn some fat to muscle over February, March, April. Everybody's picking one. In fact, at the end, April 30th, we're all going to get to do a fun run or fun walk. It was going to be a 5K and a 10K, but we recently discovered a great door opening a partnership with Georgia Gwinnett College, and they're going to host it, and I so value that partnership. We're just going to make it a 5K one run. That'll be all that works at their place. It's going to be fun. You can sign up. You'll hear more about it. Now, that said, some of you are thinking, oh, PK, you, us, those of us who are doing the get in shape, what are we going to do for eating at the Super Bowl party? Got myself covered. I pulled out my Monopoly game, the one with the Harley Davidson Monopoly, and I got myself this little card right here. It says, get out of jail free. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to eat freely and then go back in jail. So you do whatever you want, but that's how I'm doing my Super Bowl party today. That said, others of you are saying, okay, I want to go after getting emotionally healthier. Others, I want to fall back in love. I want to win in my marriage. That's my real dare. Or kids, lead your kids and the whole parenting. That's your dare. And you're corresponding it perhaps with a small group. Or today's going to be your one. Get in the game. Press it in on the way you do work. Business, life, the thing God's called you to. Or it's going to be finances. Maybe your small group needs to be finances. Will we jump in next week with Mastering Your Money? That's going to be a powerful series. But perhaps one of the most practical pressures we feel. Whichever it is, everybody get in a small group. 2016 is to get in a small group, make that decision that's part of the dare. So here we are today. We're going to dare you to get in the game. In fact, we were wondering, could we learn some Super Bowl-sized lessons to help us in our work or our career? So we tapped into one of the greats, Mr. Jeff Saturday, who is the center for Peyton Manning with the Colts when they won their Super Bowl. Listen in.
Jeff Saturday, it is a joy to spend some time with you. And you are most known for your NFL career. And really, you are the center. We're the center for Peyton Manning. So the truth is, Peyton couldn't do anything without you, right?
That's exactly right. I feel like he rode my coattails for so many years. You know?
He had to keep asking you for the ball.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so he could never get the ball without you. It all started with you.
That's right.
And then you had to protect him.
That's exactly right.
So really, it was all about you for all those years.
That's kind of what I tell him often,
I think he understands
how long I had my back is sore from carrying him
there you go.
For that many
there you
years.
Go. But we get that.
That is how my claim to fame is definitely Peyton Manning. I was his center for 13 years, and then Aaron Rodgers for one. So two really good quarterbacks. Pretty fortunate to have played with both those guys.
Okay, but let's get to the big deal. As far as everybody else is concerned, the Super Bowl. Man, when you get to go to a Super Bowl, but more than that, when you get the ring, and you have the ring. Can we see the ring? Because I asked you to bring the ring, because we got to see the ring.
Yeah, that's
that's spectacular.
That's a pretty cool ring.
See, Jeff, I believe that's the only time men understand jewelry.
No, you are absolutely right.
Yeah,
you can tell there's not a lot being worn here. this one goes on. It's not something you would wear. It's pretty noticeable. There's a lot of diamonds in it, but it's actually really cool. It's got your name, your number, the record and all that kind of thing. It's pretty special.
Yeah. And honestly, that idea of getting the Super Bowl ring, winning the Super Bowl, getting in the Super Bowl is so familiar and woven in our culture that we use that in life. Like, man, I got Super Bowl dreams in my career. I want to get the ring, the Super Bowl ring. See, it just makes sense. Anywhere in our culture, you immediately know that you're aspiring to get to places only a handful ever get. And we should have Super Bowl kind of dreams for our work, for our career. So we're going to dare you to get in the game, literally get better at what you do. So grab your teaching notes, cross the campuses, get your Bibles out. The notes are on the back of the bulletin. Each week we said we're going to present the truth, then we're going to present the dare, then we're going to call ourselves to action. So here we go. Here's the truth. It's right there in your notes. It's on the screen. While work is a God-ordained endeavor, dreaming of the ring is easier than getting the ring. Dreaming of the ring is easier than what, church? Getting the ring. Of course it is. So let's unpack it. Work is a God-ordained endeavor. See, work is God's design, God's gift, God's invitation. In fact, many times in church, you bring up the idea of work, career, job, and people are like, oh, come on. Now, why don't you talk about spiritual things? As if we've segregated, as if in our mind we've got, oh, there are things that are sacred, like the Bible and worship and church. And you can talk about that in prayer, and you can talk about that. That's sacred. But as soon as you get over here into work and job and career, that's kind of secular. And that's a lie. God is the author of work. He's the one that created. In fact, you don't have to turn there right now. I'll just read it. It's right in the beginning of the book of Genesis, chapter 2, when God created us. And it says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. To work it. To what, everybody? Work it. Work started right there. Whether you work inside the home or outside the home, however, whatever your contribution to providing, you using your gifts, talents, and abilities, you leveraging what God's entrusted to you, growing it to its maximum, is bringing a return for God, being productive, making a living, making a difference. This stuff matters to God. It's God ordained. You have to see this as sacred. This was not post-fall. The work is not the curse of sin. It's just the weeds. We messed up work because of sin, but work was there before. It's a beautiful thing. Now, sin, that messed it up. Let me see if I can put it this way. How many of you cross campuses, you have children? Okay, how many of you have children? Hands up. You have children. Okay, so do I. So you'll immediately understand this. A story once told, and I love this little story, of the mom who's sitting in church, and that was back in the day where, you know, the pews, the padded pews, and the two-year-old kept standing up, and she kept telling him, you sit down. After two, three times, she just put her hand underneath his feet and swept him out, and all of a sudden, the kid is sitting. So it's a beautiful moment. Mom's helping him. And that two-year-old looked up his mom sternly, said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. See, that's rebellion. And that child is really saying, I don't have to listen to you. I'm going to be in charge of my own life. That's the beauty of having kids. When they get 2 years old, they turn on you. You're like, what? You were so cute. You can go now. We do that to God. In our rebellion, we rise up and say, I think I'll be God in my life. And when we do, we messed everything up, and it messed up our work. It brought weeds into our work. That was the curse, which means it makes work uphill difficult and hard, which is why dreaming of the ring is easier than getting the ring. A couple years ago, I wrote a book called Home Run, God's Game Plan for Life and Leadership. And I told the story, one of my favorites in all the Bible, of Joseph in the Old Testament, son of Jacob, from Genesis 37 on. And the thing I didn't have time in the book to talk about, I want to talk about today. And that is that Joseph took the dare to get better. I want you to hear that. What set Joseph apart are many things, but one distinctively, he took the dare to get better at what he did. If you know the story, you watched him get better even when he was a slave in Potiphar's home. You watched him get better even when he was in prison. You watched him get better even when he was under Pharaoh. I'm telling you, this is a distinct, defining, life-separating. There were Super Bowl moments, but it didn't all start out that way. In fact, when he was 17 years old, just kind of a highlight of Genesis 37 and following, when he was 17 years old, he had a dream, and the dream was a Super Bowl-style dream. It was like, oh, I want to get the ring. Now, he was a favorite of his father. He had older brothers, and you'll understand the size of his dream the moment you acknowledge that perhaps you have older brothers or sisters. How many of you have older brothers or sisters? You've grew up with older, okay, so did I. I had a couple older brothers, and so this is why I love Joseph's dream. In Joseph's dream, he's reigning, leading, hovering over his older brothers. That's a beautiful dream. They're just finally getting a chance. That's so sweet when you're the younger one and you're going to reign over. He said, oh, that's a beautiful dream. Well, he had that dream. He had that vision, kind of a Super Bowl size moment. Hope, and his brothers hated him all the more, the Bible says, literally, to make a very incredibly curious story short. They practically kidnapped their brother and literally sold him into slavery, making dad think that Joseph had died and he was gone. And by the way, it was 22 years before Joseph's father ever found out that Joseph was still alive. I mean, this is all at the same time an incredibly cool, and if you read it in detail, kind of cool story. And he had a dream, and his dream led to hard times. That's familiar. In fact, around here at 12 Stone, we talk about it traveling through three zones. There's three zones that Joseph traveled through, and I should probably teach this every year at the church. It's probably been 3 years and way too long. This is the A zone that you travel through, the B zone, everybody travels through it, and the C zone. And the reality is, in the course of life, listen to me, Joseph had to travel through three zones in his job and in his work, and so do you. You have to travel through the A zone, the B zone, the C zone. Keep listening to me. That's not just true for everybody's work. That's true for your projects inside work. That's true for seasons in your work. That's true whether you're a mom at home or you work from the home or you work outside the home. That's true when you're a student. And by the way, when we get done talking about this, so I'm going to apply it to work. This actually applies to your marriage. This is what breaks down. Your marriage goes through these zones. And frankly, so does your emotional maturing process. And frankly, so does your parenting and your family. And frankly, not only your career, but your finances. And the truth of the matter is, your faith walks through this journey. This applies to every relationship. This just helps you understand the truth about the journey of life. It all starts in the A zone. And in the A zone, everything is awesome. Everything is what, church? Oh, yeah. We love the A zones because everything is awesome. See, in the A zone, life is filled with possibilities. Oh, we love the possibilities. That's what the A zone is. Awesome. This is the honeymoon zone. This is the new car. This is the first day at school. This is the kickoff of the Super Bowl. Everybody's excited and everything is awesome. It's spectacular. We want the A zone to always be our experience. The problem is it's quickly interrupted by the B zone. And the B zone is full of battles. It's full of what? Battles. Oh, yeah. Because so now we're into the battles. In other words, now we enter into all the problems. What was once all possibilities now feels like it's all problems. Now it gets hard. Now it gets uphill. Now it's difficult. Now there's grind. Now you're exhausted and you're weary. It's costing you more than you thought. It takes longer than you expected. You're in the B zone. You see, the B zone is the after the honeymoon, right? That's why we talk about the honeymoon where you have no emotional baggage. But after the honeymoon, it starts to build up. See, the B zone is now the new car has miles on it. You still have new car payments on a used car. But it's awesome when it's a new car. See, now you're into school and you have the homework and the studies and the training and the burden of it all. Now you're into the Super Bowl and the other team has points and you're getting tired. See, everybody goes into the B zone in every sphere of life. And in your work, you hit B zones. And it seems like you're going to be in B zone the rest of your life. And so the thing you most want to do when you're in the B zone is you want a Q zone. And can anybody guess what Q stands for? Quit. Yes, exactly right. You, more than anything else, you just want to quit. By the way, there's two ways to quit. One is quit, just walk away. The other is to keep showing up, but quit on the inside. And a whole bunch of us quit and work. And I want you to hear this. This right here, this, the B zone. Are you listening? The B zone is where the dare always comes. This is the dare. Because Super Bowls are won in the B zone. They're won and lost in the B zone. Marriages are won and lost in the B zone. Families are won and lost in the B zone. Your financial life is won and lost in the B zone. Your faith journey and walk with God is won and lost in the B zone. You're either going to Q zone and walk away from the things that God's called you to, or you're going to B zone through and they go, oh, but it's difficult. Of course it is. By the way, it's difficult for everybody. You're not alone. Joseph traveled through B zones. He was sold into slavery at the age of 17 for the next 5 to 7 years. He was a slave in Potiphar's home, and he had to get better at what he did. No doubt he wanted to Q zone. You go read the story. Then for doing the right thing, he was thrown in prison. Prison. And he had to rise up and get better and actually move into influence and leadership in prison. It was 13 years. How many, everybody? 13 years of B zone, where he had to dare to get better in order to rise up before there would ever be a C zone. This is the dare. This is always where the dare comes. That's the point of the series. We dare you to get better at what you do. Because when you will prevail through a B zone, you get the C zone. And the C zone is full of payoff. See, the C zone is celebration. The C zone is what, church? Celebration. These are the payoffs. This is a Super Bowl ring. In fact, when I was sitting with Jeff Sarah, I asked him, what's it like to win the ring? Listen in.
You win a Super Bowl, you get a ring. What does that feel like?
Oh, it's unbelievable. So you're the Super Bowl is more corporate than the AFC Championship game because it's played on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. So you get down there, and the whole week leading up to it is surreal. You have interviews with people that you've seen on TV, and they want
you're
just
now that guy on TV.
Yeah, you're like, that person, strange. Right? Yeah, people from all over, every country in the world who's filming, and it's crazy. They're doing all these interviews in different languages, and as you walk out on the field, you're thinking, oh, this is going to go our way. And the very first play is 6 to the house for them. And I'm going, please don't let us have gotten here. And it end that way. Now, we end up coming back, and we take care of the Bears, and we win. But just the highs and lows of that game were incredible. We ran the ball. We rushed for almost 200 yards. The offensive line had a fantastic day. And you walk off the field, the confetti's dropping. My kids, I got my son on my shoulder. My buddy's got my daughter on his shoulders. My wife, we're hugging and kissing on the field. You're touching the trophy and holding the trophy. And there's not a greater feeling of accomplishment. And it's the one time in my career that everything worked. Because you got to think, every year leading up to that, you're a failure of some sort because you didn't get that. And so that moment of accomplishment was absolutely incredible. No greater feeling in the world.
Man, Jeff is so honest. You love the C-zone. You want to get the Super Bowl ring over here. And we act as if everybody lives over in the C-zone to celebrate. It's not true. He even mentioned, man, it took how many years where you always feel like you're a failure. You never quite get there. And then there's this moment where it all comes together and you work. But the C-zones are brief and the A-zones are brief. And the only way you get to the C-zone is to get through the B-zone. The majority of life is lived right here in the B-zone. You better get good at the B-zones or you're never going to have C-zone in life. By the time Joseph got to a C-zone he could celebrate, it was in chapter 41 of Genesis. And if you go read it, verses 41 and following, it says, and Pharaoh lifted Joseph up, put his signet ring on his finger, kind of like a Super Bowl ring, man, and put him second in command at all of Egypt. See, Pharaoh had a dream, and God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. But it was 13 years of B-zone. He was 30 years old. And even at that, it was 22 years from the time he was sold into slavery before he ever saw his father again. And between the awesome A zone and the celebration of C zone is the B zone. And do you know what can almost become habitual? Watch this, everybody. Pay attention. When you're in a B zone filled with problems and the problems start to overwhelm you, the thing you most want to do is Q zone. So you go from A zone to a B zone. You want a Q zone in order to chase another A zone. We are nearly addicted as a culture to A zones. We want the euphoria of A zones. We want the feeling of A zones. So we dream a little bit, and as soon as it gets hard, we quit. Look at the trail of relationships. Look at the trail of jobs in your life. Look at the things that you easily quit. We quit so easily. We say, no, I battled. No. Battling is getting through the B zone to the payoff, to the celebration. But we can create a culture where we end up in the cycle of A zone, B zone, Q zone, A zone, B zone, Q zone, and we end up doing life, and we're running back to A zones just wishing that somebody would make life better. We're wishing things would get better instead of over here taking the dare and being willing to actually get better. Then there's a difference between wishing things would get better and being willing to actually get better and take the dare. And I'm telling you, if you get in the habit of A zone, B zone, Q zone, A zone, you can spend your whole life in a cycle of never getting better and wondering what's wrong and what's breaking down. This is the big deal. This separated out Joseph. This is what Jeff Saturday is talking about. So here's the dare. We've already given to you. It's in your notes. Write it down. Here's the dare, 12 Stone. We dare you to get better in your career. We dare you to get better. To do what? Get better. Get better at what you do. Because it's easy. We all get stalled. We all hit places where we're just kind of stuck. We all feel like we come to the end of ourselves and we're like, I don't know if I... We all have the risk of being passive and just casual about it. We all have the risk of just quit growing. Just quit growing. Demand nothing more of yourself. Don't push yourself any further. That's why Joseph inspires me. Even though God was with him, he had to work and get better at what he did. He had to conquer. He had to what? Conquer. He had to what? Conquer B zones. We've been sitting inside Romans chapter 8. Turn over there with me to page 1133 across the campuses. I've referenced several scripture, but I want you to look at this one. Page 1133, Romans chapter 8. We started the series in this scripture because we were recognizing there are things that we're going to have to conquer in life. I want you to look at this, page 1133. Go back to verse 31. Halfway through verse 31, it tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, that is Jesus. God who did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all. What does that mean, gave him up for us all? Jesus gave up his divinity temporarily, left heaven, came to earth like an undercover boss, took on human form in order
to demonstrate what it means to walk with God, to bring the kingdom of God on earth, to voluntarily give his life on the cross to cover our sin debt. That's what Jesus did for us. So he gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? If God justifies us, who then is the one who condemns us? The point being, no one. No one can condemn us. Once God forgives us of our sin, we're covered by God's grace. It's the kindness of God. In fact, it goes on in verse 36. Who shall separate us from the life, love of Christ? In other words, if you'll receive forgiveness through Jesus and his grace, if you'll say yes to Jesus, if you'll quit standing up on the inside and make it look like you're following God, sitting down on the outside, if you'll truly accept his offer of salvation, who then can separate us from the love of Christ? And listen, shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? By the way, those are all B zones. They're going to come your way even when you walk with Jesus. But shall they separate you from the love of God? No. In all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors. More than what? Conquerors. And that not only includes that Jesus conquered sin and death, which is the big one for our soul that we could never conquer. He made possible to conquer what we could not. In the B zone of our soul, he then, by his spirit in us, enables us to conquer B zones in the course of life. In fact, in the dialogue with Jeff, in the interview, Jeff talked about several things, but three that I want to hit. I wish I had time for the whole 2 hours. You would enjoy the interview time with him. But three things that we have to conquer in the B zone to get better. Three things you got to get better at. Three things you got to conquer. So here they are. You might want to write them down in your own notes. I didn't put them down there for you. You can jot down. You have to B-zone through discouragement. B-zone through, write it down, discouragement. Here's a moment with Jeff. Everybody loves to talk about the success, but let's go back to the struggles, because there was a day in your life when it was not believable.
Yeah.
That you would have that ring, or that you would have consecutive games and wins and success. Can we go back to that?
Absolutely.
You're coming out of college. You're in North Carolina. The pro scouts show up. Talk about how well that went for you, because that was spectacular for you, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
absolutely fantastic. So they rank you based on your play, in college. So I'm the third-ranked center going in to the combine, which is actually held in Indianapolis.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so that's it's fantastic,
so you're in a good
place.
Right?
So life is going to be good, and I go into the combine in Indianapolis, and you have to run the 40, you have to do bench press, you got to do jumps. There's all kinds of different things, and I get there, and everything's going well until the part where they measure your body. So they call it the intangibles, right? Your height, weight, hand, all this kind of stuff. So they put you in a room. And it's a big open room, and you're basically in your underwear, and it's 40 guys all, lined up on the wall, and they're all offensive linemen, and we just line up, and they bring you up like cattle, one by one, and you stand in front of all these scouts, and they measure your arm length, your hand, and they do all this in front, and they're yelling the numbers out. And I remember they get to my arms, and it's 32 inches, whatever it is, whatever the number is, and I hear everybody go, ooh. And all the heads go down.
That
and they
wasn't
start
a good
writing.
Ooh.
It's not a good ooh. It
wasn't
like
wow.
I was impressive.
It wasn't wow.
Yeah. Didn't shock the world. All right. And so I don't think much of it. I thought I'd be a late first day guy or maybe a second day guy. And nobody calls. And I just remember the gut-wrenching feeling as the draft ended in all seven rounds and they named the final draft pick and I hadn't been called. And the devastation of that moment of everything had culminated to this point, right? You had played hard, you had played well, you were successful, you had lifted, you had done all these things. And because my arms are not long enough, now I'm going to lose out on my dream.
Anyone know what he's talking about in terms of being discouraged? Come on. How many of you ever been discouraged? How many of you ever had dream? Hands up, cross camps. I want everybody else to see everybody else and know you're not alone in this. You're supposed to get drafted. You're number three coming in, and you walk away, and you're not going to the NFL, and everything you worked for is gone. After that, he's at a gas station pumping gas. This is his new future. Telling you, when he sat there and we had more time to talk about what it means to be zoned through discouragement, it's on all of us. Maybe you're in a discouraging season right now with your job, and you're just like, you've lost courage. And maybe the moment God wants to use right here and now, just like Joseph traveled through, just like Jeff Saturday traveled through, you're going to have to B-zone, muscle up. Don't Q-zone in discouragement or you lose out on the dream. Jeff had no idea that in that season, the Spirit of God would awaken him, that he would truly surrender his life to Jesus Christ, that God would give him an open door, a back door, a bizarre side door to do a walk-on tryout for the Colts and someday have a Super Bowl ring, because he never quit. But discouragement, you had to B-zone through it. Second thing he talked about is B-zone through grind. Jot it down, G-R-I-N-D, the grind. B-zone through grind. Here's a moment with Jeff.
Let's talk a little bit about the work days.
Yeah.
Meaning you get in the job, you finally land it, but what's it like? Because we all watch on Sunday,
oh, yeah,
and we think Sunday's spectacular.
Right.
But that's not the big deal. I mean, it is in a sense. But it's what you're doing the other 6 days. Let's talk about what it's like to work through the grind.
Oh, yeah.
Of getting to the next level.
Yeah, I'll give you a great – so Marvin Harrison, who will be a Hall of Fame wide receiver, who was one of the receivers with me, he said, listen, I get paid for Monday through Saturday. I do Sundays for free. And that's truthfully the mentality of players, is that the Sunday is the show. But the Monday through Saturday, it is truly the grind of what our game is. And it's really what separates guys. And so the thing that I tried to always do was I was going to work as hard as I could. I was going to put in the time I needed to. I was going to show up, be accountable. And when a teammate needed me, I was always going to be there for him.
I'm telling you, that captured me. The ability to do the grind separates people out, separates the guys out. See, I think that's true if you're a mom at home, but you can do the grind and get better at what you're doing. Or you're a student and you're in school or college, university, or training. You can do the grind. It's going to separate you. When you're in your work and your business, if you can consistently do the grind, it separates you out. I mean, this get better at what you do. This stuff really matters. I think that's what Proverbs 6 had in mind. Check this out on the screen. I just want you to see Scripture talks at the most practical level. Go to the ant. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. In other words, it doesn't matter how it feels. It does the right thing. Goes after the thing. Goes through kind of the B zone to get better. Everybody's career, everybody's work has grind to it. If you're looking for the career that has no grind, good luck. You'll just keep Q-zoning and A-zoning and B-zoning and Q-zoning and A-zoning and B-zoning and Q-zoning because you're looking for a grind-free life and it doesn't exist. Build B-zone muscle. Get better. There's a third thing Jeff talked about. B-zone through conflict. B-zone through conflict. Everybody has it. Conflict. It can take you out. And I had to confess, this was a little bit of a smile and entertainment. But listen in on this conversation with Jeff.
Now, you make it sound like this was all just family. And everybody got along. It was just brothers. Yeah.
We hugged.
Yeah, and then when they put that famous confrontation between you and Peyton, as fans, that was highly entertaining.
Yeah. My greatest testimony moment.
No, perhaps not. So tell us about that moment.
You know, it was we're playing the Rams on a Monday night, and so they had a good defense. It's going to be a good team. And all week leading up, we had said in the red zone, which is when we're inside the 20-yard line going in to score, that we were going to run the ball because the defense that they run doesn't allow for passes. The defensive backs
tightens it up,
just makes it impossible. Yep. So we get down there, and we throw three consecutive pass plays. And after the first one, I'm screaming. You know, what are we doing? This is not our game plan. What are we doing? Throw two more incompletions. We got to kick a field goal. So I'm coming off the field, and I am ripping in to our offensive coordinator, Tom Moore. And I am like, Tom, what are you doing? Game plan is to run inside the five. You threw it three times, three incomplete passes. And he's not saying a word. He's just looking at me, and he's just kind of, you know, nodding his head at me. And so I'm getting even more mad. And then Peyton goes, hey, I made those calls. And I was like, well, you're an idiot for making – this is not what we talked about. So he goes and sits down, and I go sit down because the line sits together and the quarterback and receiver sit together. Well, Peyton decides he's going to get up, And it starts building.
It didn't go away.
He can't go through that I've just challenged him and gone off on him right in front of everybody. So he gets up and comes down to the sideline, and he and I get into a verbal altercation where you can hear all of it. I mean,
we all get to enjoy the experience.
We are ripping into each other.
Hey, quit calling the plays, all right?
Hey, we got to run the ball.
Six down, let me pass, watch, we'll run the ball.
Can we run it down there?
Just play
center. We run it down
yeah,
there.
Jeff,
okay, so
we will. All right, we call pass plays, block.
That was totally outmatched, you know, size, strength, you name it.
No, he's calling plays.
Go sit down.
He's calling plays.
Down.
I will sit down.
Don't
quit yelling.
Hey, go sit down.
No, we're cool, but y'all quit yelling.
Don't come over here telling us how to block.
He's doing it.
Come on, okay.
He's yelling at us.
You don't have to go yet.
No.
Some people are like, that sounds like marriage, that sounds like my work, that sounds like my small group, that sounds like the world I live in, because conflict's everywhere. And you think, oh, they're all just hugging over there. No, they're not. I love the fact that shortening the conversation so we can move on, that Jeff talked about how they were able to come to resolution. I mean, they got through this, came back together. Knew how to fight for each other and fight for the team. See, that's what you got to learn to do. You got to B-zone through conflict so you can go back to fighting for one another and for the reason that you're there. Here's about 30 more seconds that I loved how Jeff summarizes, because Peyton's the quarterback. He's the lead. Once I got it off my chest, we got together. We get right back on track. Here's what he offered.
And there was a great lesson in that, an understanding that listen, somebody has to have the final say. Whether it's you as a whoever it is, there has to be a final authority, and he was that, and that was okay. And I think guys understood that our relationship, the way that we would fight, but at the end, I'm going to fight for him now. Once we're in agreement or once he's made a decision, I'm behind him 100%, and we're going to fight like, you know, we're going to fight like dogs to make that way work. And that was the way I always believed, and I always went into it that way.
And so the more time you spend with Jeff Saturday, the more you understand how they get to Super Bowl. Because team has to work. They had to get better at what they did. They had to B-zone through conflict. And they had to B-zone through grind. They had to B-zone through really great challenges together. Even through discouragement. And so do you. Maybe the whole point is that the Spirit of God set this day up, this moment, this teaching, for you to choose to get better at what you do. Quit Q-zoning. Even if you're showing up, but internally you've Q-zoned, you've settled, and you're not growing, you're not getting better, so you can get to the C-zone. So let me call you to action. Right there in your notes, the action is simple today. I'm going to dare you to get in a small group. Dare you to do what, church? Get in a small group. Get in a what? Small group. You're thinking, that's it? The challenge is for us to get in a small group? Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody dreams well on their own, and nobody gets through B-zones on their own. Ultimately, nobody gets through B-zones to C-zones on their own. There's too much discouragement, too much grind, too much difficult. You need others. Let me see if I can make sense of this. There's a restaurant, Mooney's Barbecue in Flowery Branch. Our family has eaten there. Apparently, some of you have as well. Spectacular place to eat. And we give it 2 thumbs up. But the backstory is what intrigues me. There was no Mooney's Barbecue a few years ago. But Jason Martin, the owner, was sitting in a 12-stone small group. It was a leadership small group. Guys gathered together to help one another get better in their faith and their walk and their leadership. And in the course of that, they were sharing their dreams, and he shared his. I love Texas barbecue. And that's really my dream. They kind of chuckled until he brought some Texas barbecue. And they're like, oh, my goodness, God's in that. And they challenged him, go after your dream. He and his wife decided we should do this. The group encouraged them. For the next year, they worked on it. But there were so many B-zones. If I told you, they should have just quit. Because it isn't easy launching a business, being an entrepreneur, going after your dreams, whatever they are. Interestingly enough, several in that group would stop by where they were building the business and getting it ready that year, and they'd stop in the parking lot and they'd pray over Jason, over his family, over the business, over God's favor to cover them. I mean, this is no small thing. That group encouraged them and helped them get there. So at the end of the year, when they launched Mooney's Barbecue, his small group gathered in and they celebrated the launch of that restaurant. Now, Jason did it smart. He spent the next 2 years, because he'd been a computer programmer prior to this. And no computer programmer belongs going into the barbecue business. And he was doing really well in the tech computer industry. And he kept that job for the next couple of years until it was obvious that the barbecue place could sustain him. And now it's a great story. Now it's Super Bowl ring kind of stuff. Now he's multiplied his income and he's doing what he dreamed of. And can I tell you something? He didn't get there on his own. He got there with the help of others. You don't get through B-Zone on your own. It's why we set up small groups and encourage you, and God put the church together to help you, to give you courage. 12 Stone would not be here as a church were it not for a friend of mine. It took many, but I'll just confess. And it's in the book, Home Run. 3.5 years into 12 Stone, IQ Zone. I can't even describe to you how discouraging it was. And I went to a friend. I said, I just need a job. He said, what are you going to do with the church? I'm going to close it. And at the end of that conversation, he said, listen, if you've lost faith, borrow mine. Yeah, go back and do the grind. Get through discouragement. God's in this. There's no way we'd be here today as a church without a friend speaking in, yes, by God's Spirit. You need small group because you got B zones in front of you and you're going to Q zone if you don't have the right people around you. It's what we do together in the church. So I'm going to challenge you, dare you, get in a small group. And for many of you, you know that's what the Spirit of God is saying, and that's why we've made so much room. And if it's not a work leadership kind of small group, then it's one of the others, or it's finances, or any small group. They're open. This is your last chance to get in. And some of you know right now, God is telling you, he put this service together for you, that you have to go get better at what you do. Whether it's at home or outside the home, in your work, you got some B zones to get through. And it may be your primary, or it may be just a B zone you got to get through. But I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you would say, I got to take this dare? There's a portion of this dare I got to take. Cross campuses, hands up if this is you. Just hands up, because you're saying before God and everybody else. Do it again, hands up, so everybody can see across campuses. Okay, I'm going to go do this. I want to pray for us. God, there are things we have to conquer. And they're easy to talk about in a room, but they're difficult to do. Holy Spirit, I would ask for a supernatural outpouring for those of us who are discouraged, that you would help us rise up and be zoned through the discouragement. Help us conquer. And there's grind in front of us, and some of us are being conquered by the grind. Would you help us conquer? Some of us are in the midst of conflict, and we need to conquer that, and we need your grace, and we need your help. We need to learn. We need to get better at what we do. God, for everyone who would offer this prayer and say, God, help me. Help me. Holy Spirit, would you do this for us? Many of us saying, God, I don't do small group, and that's got to change. It's just got to change. We got to go give February, March, April, do small group, and find the value of community that you created us for. It's partly how you grow us up and get us better in our walk, in our marriage, in our family, everything. God, would you do that for us? I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, hang on. There's one more conversation. For some of you, this isn't about work. This is really a conversation about working your way to heaven. That some of us still believe in this culture that the way you get to heaven and restore to God is you work your way, and it's all on your efforts. And it's not on God's grace. Look at the screen, Ephesians chapter 2. God, immense in mercy and with incredible love, embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. And then it goes on in the Message version. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by our works, so that no one can boast. You see, when I talked with Jeff Saturday, part of his point was, man, I did not get here on my own. And I didn't come to a restored relationship with God on my own. It was the grace of Jesus. In fact, I was throwing words out to Jeff. And one of the words I threw out to him was grace. And I would say, like grace. And when I said grace, here's immediately what he said.
Oh, Christ. I mean, that just hits me, you know, right in the forehead. And it's what I've lived, you know, in every decision that I've made incorrectly, and every scenario that I've screwed up, you name it, any, you know, from a job perspective, man, there's no greater word for me to define Christ than grace.
See, in a culture that says you ought to be your own man, your own person, you don't need God, every once in a while it's important to hear the truth. Even from NFL Super Bowl ring-wearing people like Jeff Saturday, that I need God. Because I'm not going to stand up on the inside while it looks like I'm sitting down. I'm going to surrender to the God, the one who promises a blessed life, the one who restores me through Jesus, who gives me the capacity through Jesus to conquer sin and death, the gift of eternal life, and forgiveness of sin only through Jesus. And I don't know how long the Spirit of God has been moving on your heart and your mind, and how long you've been saying no to God and resisting Him, but this may be the moment where finally, men, finally, women, students, finally, you say yes to God. And so, if it's your day to finally say yes to God, then as the campus pastors step up to the stage, they're going to give you a moment to literally raise your hand and say, that's me, and lead you in a prayer, and this will be your spiritual birthday. So right here in this room, Cafe Theater, would you bow your heads with me? This is a serious, sacred moment. I don't know how long you have resisted God. And no doubt more than just this moment, He's been drawing you to Himself. So if that's you, and you say, man, I got to get right with God. I've never done this, never truly surrendered. Then hands up in this room in the Cafe Theater, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. How about it? Who is it? Who is it? Say, this is it. This is it. Finally, I got to say yes to God. Quit resisting. Quit fighting. How about it? Here in this room, in the Cafe Theater, hands up. Say, this is me. This is my time. This is my turn. Good for you guys. And now, if you would, just everyone look up at the screen. We do things as a family, and as we've been doing through this series, we've been reading this prayer together, but it's the prayer of all of you who would say yes to God, and this would be your moment. So we're going to read the prayer together aloud, and for all of you who are saying, I got to settle this with God, really, whether you raise your hand or not, you're just like, okay, that's it, no more resistance. Then church, let's read this prayer together, but for you who are saying yes to God, this is your prayer. Everyone read the prayer aloud. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins by the grace of Jesus and restore me to you. Jesus, be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know you, serve you, and follow you. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, we never get tired of what? Every time one person comes into the kingdom? Absolutely.